Steve asked as he joined them outside, looking into the distance. Something bad, Rudy said in a lower octave. He went to his truck, a battered F-Series Ford, got inside and fidgeted with his keys. Just like I thought, he grumbled as he got out. What is it? Sylvia asked. EMP. It fries the electronics. It's the only thing that could take out my truck, the lights, and the phones. Steve hurried to his bike, but like Rudy's truck, it refused to start. Damn it! Jason knew what an EMP was, and it was a sobering thought. We got nuked. For a few moments, none of them spoke. They looked north, towards Baton Rouge. Usually the ambient light from the city marked the clouds. Now the only light was from the stars. Jason heard the sound of an explosion in the distance, almost like thunder. Josh acknowledged that. What was that? Rudy stood with them. Could have been anything. Probably a plane. The warm joy and relaxation that the bourbon gave Jason evaporated in that instance. We need a plan. Rudy spoke up, his gravelly voice sounding firm, almost like the officer he had once been. My place is about 3 miles north of here. I have a 1960 Dodge I've restored. It wouldn't be affected by an EMP. I've got guns there and provisions. We can go there and see if we can figure out how bad this really is. Go Huang led the other three members of his team under the Horace Wilkinson Bridge as he had during their trial runs. This night was markedly different. There was no rumble from semis and cars above. Baton Rouge was silent and dark, except for a lone building fire in the distance across the Mississippi. No cars were about either, silenced by the invisible pulse of electromagnetic energy. His team had come across the southern U.S. border 3 years earlier. He remembered that night distinctly, since it involved a river crossing, albeit different. That night he had been afraid, which was laughable in retrospect. The Americans did nothing to stop his crossing. If anything, they helped with clothing, shelter, food, and even a new phone. He barked out crisp orders and his team placed the explosives, just as they had rehearsed. Earlier, they had set similar charges on the Huey P. Long, O.K. Allen Bridge. They would be going off almost the same time as these. Once they did, they would sever traffic from crossing out of Baton Rouge to the west. Then he and his team would travel north along the river, repeating the actions. As he moved up to where his team worked, Chao Yuan spoke out. What is the point of this again, Commander? I am sure we can put these explosives to far more productive use. Chao always enjoyed his little jokes, but on this night, Go was far from amused. Eventually, the Americans will realize that they lack food and supplies to make it through the winter. They will head west, hoping that the farmers will be able to feed them. We will remove their crossings, restrict their movement, and speed up their starvation. Most will die on such a march, Chao countered. You have seen them, as we all have. They are fat and complacent. Most will sit and wait for their government to come to their rescue. Besides, our troops will be in position in their heartland. Those that might make it will be slaughtered. He struggled to secure the last charge, finally getting it in place, assisted by Jia Hao Peng. Peng talked little, and when he did, his comments were grim. These people deserve to starve. They live in such opulence and complain that it is never enough. Let them wither slowly, suffering what our people do. Go ignored Peng and concentrated on Chao's comments. His comrade's thinking was far too familiar to Go. It was the product of a lifetime of propaganda. He had been in the United States before his assignment. He had come to know the Americans. Underestimating them was dangerous and foolhardy. You have been here 3 years, Chao. You've seen the American obsession with guns. While you may prefer to think of them as a starving, weak mob marching out to the plains to die, I see them as a desperate and well-armed army. There are millions of veterans in this nation, too, complements of American imperialism. They would not meekly saunter towards us begging for food. They will come to fight for their lives. That is why our mission is so important. Chao nodded. Your point, as always, is well taken. Sir, Chuan Tai spoke up. Sir, I have double-checked the connections. I am ready to set the timer. Proceed, Go commanded. In a matter of days, the Americans would have their nation cut in two, thanks to the chilly waters of the Mississippi River. Retired Lieutenant Rudolph Rudy James's house was a tiny bungalow. The garage behind it was twice the size of his home,